Hey, listeners, this is Dan Benamor, head of podcasts at Voyage Media. The story you're about to listen to was created in our incubator and with someone who wanted to share a story with the world. At Voyage, we believe great stories come from anywhere and that everyone deserves an opportunity to be heard. So far, we've made over 40 hit movies, shows, and podcasts from storytellers from around the world. If you have a story to share and have always believed it could make a great movie, show, or podcast, please visit www.storytopodcast.com to learn more. Thanks.
Voyage.
Bob here.
Hello, is this Bob Anderson?
Yes. Who's this?
Mr. Anderson. My name is Elias. I am your parents' caretaker. I am regretful to inform you that both your parents have passed away.
Wait. What? Both of them?
It happened this afternoon.
How?
I unfortunately don't know. We won't know until the autopsies. All I can tell you is I found them both lifeless in the street outside the property. There were no signs of trauma. I am so sorry.
Jesus. I don't know what to say.
I was looking for your contact information, but finding it took me some time.
I didn't even know they had a caretaker.
Many didn't.
Well, thank you, Elias.
I am also calling to inform you that your parents left their home to you.
The mansion? Are you serious?
Yes, the executor of their estate should be calling you in the morning, but I just wanted to give you a heads up.
Why the hell would they leave it to me? We haven't talked in a decade.
You're their only child. Makes sense to me.
Right. Well, I suppose I need to start thinking about a funeral.
They stated that neither of them wanted one in the event of their passing.
That makes sense. They both hated making a big deal out of things. Well, thanks again. Good night.
Good night, Bob.
And just like that, my everything changed. Little did I know that Elias's call would flip my life on its head completely. After taking the call with the executor, I learned that I was eligible to move into the house as soon as that same day. I remember feeling oddly excited. I'd lost my job recently doing a true crime podcast for a popular website, and money was tight. I should be honest. Money was non-existent. In fact, I was 4 months late on rent and, well, was on the verge of moving into a hostel. But then, through some twisted irony, my parents, who have never given me anything in life, sent me a lifeline. I guess it took death for them to provide anything for me. You know, I really wanted to not care about their passing, but I found myself slipping into cafe bathrooms as I did my daily walk around the city and crying in them. I thought to myself, at least I wasn't heartless. My mind was made up. I was going to move into my parents' home by the end of the week. I'd have to pay for utilities, but no mortgage payments. I made my way home to continue packing before deciding to call my son. Sharon, 2 minutes is ridiculous. I want to talk to him longer than...
Bob, that's my rule. 2 minutes.
His grandparents just died, Sharon. Do you think I could talk to him for...
Sure, sure. But how it always goes is, you say you just want to talk to him about something. Then it turns to something else. Then it turns to something else. It's always a Trojan horse with you.
Sharon, please.
Fine. Honey, it's your dad.
Daddy!
After chatting to my son about his grandparents' death, consoling him and explaining it all to him, I could hear Sharon in the background shout,
"One more minute, Bob."
Listen, bud. Since Grandma and Grandpa are gone, they left their house to me. It's a big house, a mansion. I was thinking you could come stay there with me for a while. What do you think?
Really? A mansion? I want to go. When can we go?
I'm going tomorrow. We can...
I don't think so, Bob.
Sharon, put Ronnie back on the phone. Were you listening in? That's illegal, you know.
No, it isn't. And I knew that you were going to pull some bullshit.
It's not bullshit. I'm telling him about my new living situation, and I'm...
Allowing him with the prospect so he can guilt me into feeling bad for not letting him go when you don't have visitation rights. I don't think so.
Sharon, they had servants, and Ronnie could have a huge room
you
and...
You have no conviction. You rejected them for... What was it? Indulgent lifestyle. For so long. And now that it conveniences you, you're all about it.
I can't turn down the opportunity, and it can be great for Ronnie to live a little.
Bob, you're broke. I don't give a damn about some mansion. Ronnie is not spending time over there. Do you understand?
Sharon, you're being ridiculous. I am his father, and I want to see my son.
Goading a child. You're pathetic. Nice try, though.
Nice try. It was a nice try. I knew what I was doing. I knew it was manipulative, but I was so desperate to see Ronnie. Sharon and I split years ago. Years of neglect and finding comfort at the bottom of a bottle didn't sit well with her, wouldn't you know? Naturally, it all led to a loss of rights to see my kid, which then led to more drinking, and then, boom, career implosion. Getting this new house injected me with newfound vigor. It felt like a restart, so in kind, I planned on starting a new podcast. My agent and manager were both excited to hear about it, and you can imagine their anger when I told them I didn't have a focus yet. I was hoping this new adventure would give me some sort of inspiration. But all I knew was, it had to be a success. It had to pay off big. It was the only way I believed I could convince Sharon to give me visitation. Money isn't everything, I thought, but it does help. And how could she say no if I wanted to take Ronnie on a $2,000 Disney World trip, right? The drive to the house was a quaint one through the rolling hills and pastures of the Midwest. My parents lived in a small town called Oakhurst, where the average age was probably 65. They moved out there from Chicago years back when they made their fortune. I had already moved out by then and was living with friends, and then they and I fell out, so this was going to be all new for me. I'd never seen this place or the town they lived in. In fact, I barely knew any info about it. Pulling up to the house, I was baffled at how large it was and how old it was. It looked like the house from Clue. It was almost a cliche how Victorian and musty it looked. I couldn't help but roll my eyes. What had I inherited? This place looked like a shithole. I could see from the street how much disrepair it was in. And then I saw him, standing at the top of the staircase that led to the huge wooden front doors. Elias, smiling at me. I stepped out of my car and slowly approached him. He was dressed like an old-world tramp. Overalls, a brown vest, a bowler hat. It was head-scratching weird. Hello. You must be Elias.
I am. A pleasure to meet you, Bob, and I am so happy you decided to take the house.
Well, for now. Looks like it's in need of some maintenance.
Oh, most definitely. It's a very large home, and to be completely transparent, your parents lacked the funds to keep up with the repairs.
What? No, that can't be right. My parents were loaded.
Haven't you wondered why they never left you any money, and only this home?
It crossed my mind, but I figured they gave it to charity or, I don't know, a stranger. We didn't get along, me and them.
Well, your parents, bless them, gave up all their money to make their home a hospice care facility.
Okay, what?
Did you not speak to them at all?
Elias, the last time I spoke to either of them was Christmas 2014, or it was over the phone saying two phrases, Merry Christmas and then goodbye.
That's a shame.
So backtrack. A hospice care facility. Do you want to unpack that a bit for me?
Well, to be honest, it was a bit at my behest that they opened it. They were quite the philanthropists, but felt as if their donations to various organizations weren't enough to help people. I was working here already as a groundskeeper. We were close. We would speak at length, at the end of the day, about all sorts of things. It was in these conversations that I suggested to them that they open their expensive home to those in need. Specifically, people on their last leg in life who needed a comfortable place to expire.
Why did you recommend hospice?
That's what I did in a former life. Hospice care. I'm a trained nurse. It's work that I took pride in and enjoyed.
So you're the reason I'm not getting any cash?
In a sense, I suppose. Why don't you come inside? You look perplexed, Bob. Is everything okay?
I guess I just figured there'd be more activity. Where are the...
staff?
Yeah. I mean, I suppose I'm going to have to rehire them now.
Well, one person, the chef, Norma. Other than that, there's only me.
Wait, it's just two of you?
Yes. I act as a groundskeeper, maintenance, anything you can think of.
I thought they had a whole staff.
They did, at one point. But they siphoned that money into what we needed for hospice care.
Wow. So, I won't lie to you, Elias. Not to be egregious, but this kind of feels like a gyp for me. I might be considering selling this place.
Selling? Why would you ever do that? This home has become a reliable place for dying elderly.
Yeah, but that was your and my parents' thing. The place is mine now, so if I choose to sell, I'll sell.
I insist that you don't.
I don't believe that's up to you.
If you say so.
In any case, it looks like I'll have to do some repairs anyhow. This house is rough. Show me around the rest of it if you don't mind. Elias showed me room after room after room. I counted 14 guest rooms, 3 billiard rooms, 4 studies, 3 kitchens, and hallways galore. It was making my head spin. We were only done with half the tour before I begged Elias for a respite. Okay, well, no wonder this place is busted up. It's too much for one person to maintain all of this. If we stop doing the hospice thing, that should save some money. Then I can hire a team to fix it up. But at the very least, I should start with you. What's your daily rate?
Nothing.
Nothing?
Yes, I worked for your parents gratis, so I will continue to do so if we keep doing hospice care.
Fine, we can. For now. I need to underline, it is not something that I'm going to care to keep in the very near future. Who the hell is that?
One of the 2 tenants that we had in flux during your parents' passing. The type of people who need the service this place provides.
I'm not liking your tone, buddy.
You're trying to do away with something that greatly benefits the community of this town. It's caring for seniors. Why don't you come meet them and see how much they need this?
Fine. Sure.
Bob, I'd like you to meet George. George, this is Bob, the new owner of the home. He is Richard and Pam's son.
How are you, George?
You know, filled with vigor.
George, I'm going to introduce Bob to Harriet. I'll be back in a bit to give you your cocktail, okay? Hello, Harriet. How was your supper?
Mealy, Elias. When is Norma going to be back? Your cooking is...
subpar? I know, I know. Norma's return will depend on the new master of the house. Harriet, this is Bob.
Well, I'll be damned. Rich and Pam's boy. They spoke ill of you quite a bit. I'm surprised they left you the house.
You and me both, Harriet.
I suppose you're their only child. They wanted to leave you something.
A broken-down house with a rogue hospice facility inside it? Quite a thing to leave.
Elias, I was wondering if you could pray for my family. I found out today that my grandson relapsed.
Of course, Harriet. Bob, if you'd excuse me.
It was something that made me cringe, watching Elias put his hand over Harriet and mutter a prayer. I had a huge aversion to that proselytizing thing. When we left the room and went down to the kitchen for a quick drink of scotch, the sight couldn't leave me. So you're, pretty religious, huh?
And you aren't.
Not even a little.
I'm not surprised.
What's that supposed to mean?
Because I know your type. Angry at the world, the type that believes people who put faith in a god are suckers. Because the world is just awful, and that's how it is. Nihilistic and selfish.
You know nothing about me. Yes, I am an atheist. I think religion does more harm than good, historically and categorically. I'm not a nihilist, but I can be selfish. Regardless, the simple question is, are you going to keep combating me? Because I can let you go right now.
No, I am sorry. I love what I do, and I don't want to give it up. I am being a bit defensive. Let's try to reset, yes?
Sure. Let's move on.
So no belief in the afterlife? Heaven, hell?
Nope. None.
Well, I'll be one to tell you. They exist, as does purgatory.
You've got evidence?
I do.
Show me.
In time.
When?
The more we talk, I'm sure it'll lead us to that. Well, you should get unpacked. Dinner is at 7. See you there.
After unpacking, putting on some nicer clothes, and wandering a bit more, I found my parents' room. It was huge, with a double king-size bed, a large stained glass window, and a massive black mahogany grandfather clock. The room felt a bit eerie, but God did it look opulent and comfortable. Making my way down to the dining room for dinner, I felt a cold chill in the back of my neck. I made it to the dining room, and the strange aroma of Elias's cooking hit my nose. It wasn't long before we were sitting across from one another in awkward silence.
So, how do you like your room?
It's nice. Better than the one I grew up in.
Yes, I know Pam and Richard had humble beginnings. It is one of the reasons we connected so well.
You grew up broke?
Yes. My father and I lived in the guest home of a wealthy landlord. My father was the landlord's personal maintenance man. It was a struggle. He was paid so poorly. But we got to live close to such luxury. All the movers and shakers of Chicago came here for the landlord's parties.
Fascinating. Where's your father now?
He passed away when I was only 13.
I'm sorry.
I'm not. He was an awful man, abusive, violent, a crazed drunk. He forced me to...
Forced you to what?
Do a lot of things I'm not proud of.
Like?
Some unsavory activities. His desperation for money led him to... Well, maybe we can talk about it another time.
Elias hung his head down. I could tell he was feeling uncomfortable. Sore spot. But my interest in him was heightening. Part of that journalistic itch I had. Had to keep the conversation going.
How do you like your meal?
It's good, thank you. I wanted to ask, since obviously I know nothing about my parents' lives for the past decade, why'd they choose this house?
From what I remember, they said they originally wanted to convert it into a hotel.
This place?
With a bit of a spooky angle. They were quite the entrepreneurs, as you know. In those early days, their focus was maximizing what they had to make more profit.
And you turned them on the straight and narrow and made them all philanthropic.
I suppose. Let me be clear. I didn't impose it on them. They just took to it.
Wait, back up a bit. You said they wanted to turn this place into a hotel with a spooky angle. What does that mean?
Well, many people have died in these walls, Bob. And many of those same people are still here.
What? You mean it's haunted? I mean, it certainly fits the aesthetic of haunted. Tell me about who died here.
I'm sorry, I feel as if I've overshared a bit.
No, I'm all ears. I like oversharing.
Why is that?
I'm a podcaster.
What is your podcast called?
The Vocal Exchange.
Never heard of it.
Yeah, we haven't had a new episode in a while, but I interview people of interest. I hit a bit of an inspirational block. I haven't met anyone worth interviewing.
I hope you find someone. I'd like to listen.
Well, to be honest, Elias, and not to sound gauche, but you've taken my interest.
Me? No, I'm just a senior caretaker.
Yes, you're also a frickin' nurse, a groundskeeper, a believer, a seemingly sordid past, and you believe the place you live in is haunted. You're a frickin' bingo in the subject department. If you wouldn't mind, I'd love to learn more about
I don't know if it's a good idea.
Wait, I'm sorry. I got a little excited. You're like a breath of fresh air for me. Please let me interview you. I swear we can go at your pace. I stared him down, my heart pounding in my chest in anticipation of his answer. He didn't know just how badly I needed this. I needed him to say yes.
Okay, I'll do it.
Yes, thank you.
But I will only share what I feel comfortable with. I don't want to be pressured.
No, not at all. I'm ethical with my approach.
Okay. Sounds good. Sounds exciting. I've never told anyone my story. It'll be nice to share. We can start tomorrow, then?
Well, to be honest, I'm feeling in the mode right now. Would you mind?
Now?
Well, after we eat.
Okay. Sure. Why not?
All right, we're recording. Let's get into it.
Don't you have an intro?
No, of course I do. I added after. It's long and I don't want to kill the momentum. You ready?
I think so, yes.
Elias, let's start off with how you came to meet my parents and get into this vocation.
Well, I had been working here at the home as a groundskeeper for years before. When your parents bought the house from Mr. Cranley, the old owner, they rehired me because we hit it off on the day they came to inspect the place.
And why is it that you decided to be a caretaker for the sick and dying? You did mention to me that it was you who spurred my parents into turning this home into a hospice. Go into the why for a bit.
Well, palliative care is something that is hard, not only for the patient, but for the nurse. It's hard to ease the ailments of those close to passing away. Many people shy away from it. When you develop these relationships, it's tough. When you know one day those people will definitively be gone.
So you wanted to take on the burden of a job that most can't handle?
Yes, I suppose so.
Is there something else to it? I mean, sure you want to help people, but is it because there was someone in your life you couldn't help? Someone from your past?
I don't know. Perhaps.
Okay. You mentioned earlier that your father was a harsh and disturbed man who forced you into doing things you weren't comfortable with during your formative years. Is there something from this time that inspired you to choose this path?
I don't want to go into that.
Oh, well, feel free to share from then whatever you'd like.
I said no.
Right? Okay. Well, why don't you tell us a bit about the house? Was the place ever packed with patients?
To be honest, no. We usually only have two or three people at a time. The population of Oakhurst is so low.
Okay, sure. Hey, let's take a quick break. We'll be right back on the Vocal Exchange. What was that?
What?
You got weird. We barely started.
Sorry, your question kind of derailed me a bit.
Shit, sorry. I was so excited to do this that I forgot to tell you what questions I was going to be asking. Let's go again, yeah?
Can we try again tomorrow? Sorry, I'm a bit tired.
Oh, yeah, of course. Sure. I guess it is a bit late.
Yes. Thank you.
Hey, before you go, could I get another blanket for the master bedroom? There's only one sheet there now, and I sleep with...
No, you can't sleep in there.
What? Why not? Look, I don't care if it was their bed. They didn't die in it, did they? And if they did, just tell me you washed the sheets.
Trust me, you shouldn't.
Why?
There's an unwelcoming presence in that room.
Presence? What do you mean?
A spirit.
Oh, this thing. You really believe this place is haunted, huh?
Yes.
Okay, right.
There are several restless spirits in this house, Bob. Some are indifferent to us. Others are kind. and a few are hostile. In the master bedroom, there is a hostile spirit. I am asking you, don't sleep in there.
Elias, I don't believe in spirits, ghosts, demons, gods, devils, angels, leprechauns, unicorns, wizards, and yetis. Why? Because they don't exist. Now, someone like you might say, I can't prove they don't exist. And I would say to you that you can't prove that they do. We'll do a back and forth about our worldviews, which could lead to contemptuousness. So before we go down that road, let's just leave it at, thanks for the warning, but I am going to be sleeping in that room. Now, could you point me in the direction of the bedsheets? I could tell that Elias was miffed, but frankly, I didn't care. The last thing I wanted to hear after that dumpster fire of a 2-minute interview was crap about ghosts. I found my sheets and made my way up to the master bedroom, ready for a peaceful sleep in my parents' Louis XIV style bed. Nestling under the sheets, I rested supine for a moment, thinking about how best to do renovation on this pop-down home. My phone suddenly rang. It was my agent, Paul. Hey, I'm gonna have to redo the episode.
What kind of rollout are we going for? People love this kind of shit. My cousin's a priest. He's heard his share of stories.
Binge. This is a mini-series.
Mini-series? What? Hello?
There's a candelabra rattling on my dresser.
What are you talking about, Bob?
No, I'm serious. It's moving by itself, gliding along the dresser.
Bob, are you drunk? What is going on?
I'm straight sober, Paul. My sheets are being pulled off of me. The lights are flickering.
Is someone pranking you? Who's that weird caretaker?
No one else is in
here. What is
that? Paul, the dressers are opening and closing on their own. They stopped.
Okay, buddy. Maybe leave the room, get some air. Who was that?
Whoa! Ow! Fuck! Something just pulled me to the floor! I felt a hand pull me to the floor!
Couldn't explain it, and I wouldn't admit it for a while. But even then, I knew that the supernatural did indeed exist. I made a beeline for the door and stumbled out into the hallway. Standing there under the dim lamp was Elias. He'd been waiting for me.
Elias the Caretaker is a production of Voyage Media. The series is produced by Nat Mundell, Robert Midas, and Dan Benamor. Executive produced by Robert Mitchley, based on Robert Mitchley's original story. Written and directed by Sarah and Scott Narr. Edited, sound designed, and mixed by Joel Lipman. Original music by Derlis Gonzalez. Starring David Pinion as Bob and Ben Van Diepen as Elias. Additional cast credits available in the show notes. If you're enjoying the show, please leave us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts or anywhere you're listening. And subscribe now for future episodes.